Boss, copy all shot to boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Youngblood again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL Kopi Talks. I'm ABK.
I'm Lukman.
So we have today with us, we're very honored today to have with us Wes, who is the winner of our FPL Kopi Talks mini league. Yeah, so welcome to the pod, Wes.
Thanks ABK and thanks Lukman. It's my pleasure to be on here. Looking forward to have fun for this episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's been a while. I mean, I've went through your team actually, like for a good, like I was not productive at work for like a good 2-3 hours straight after the season looking at your team. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
He did a deep dive to your team. Do you do that for your team? Do you analyze on FPL Live, is it?
I sent him his Excel sheet.
Lukman really deep dive on your team, and then
he probably did a deeper deep dive than myself.
I was telling Lukman, I think he knows your team better than you do at this point.
And I had fun, to be honest. I was like, this is very interesting. Because so basically you end the OR 15, so that's the aim, that's all we want, right? So yeah, let's get to know you, man. So how long have you been playing FPL West?
Okay, so I had a look at the history, so I realized that I've been playing since I was 13 years old, apparently.
Serious?
Yeah, apparently.
Do you remember?
How many years have you been playing?
So 13, so around 10 seasons or so.
Wow.
But
sec one, secondary one.
Yeah, correct. Secondary one. So but I haven't really like had much like memorable seasons. Like there's only like two that stood out for me other than this season, of course. One was the I think I was around 300 plus rank during the Salah's first season. I think I just got him in early, then I rode the whole bandwagon all the way. Then another one was a bit of a luckier one. So I think it was one of about 2 or 3 seasons back where I was kind of having like a mid kind of season. Then the last week I was like, I might as well go all in. So I took Salah out for Mane and captained him against Palace. And then I got Bale in also. Then suddenly I jumped all the way into like 9th place for the Western League. Then I got a nice football from them, which was kind of good.
Wait, this is 2021, right? You finished?
Correct.
So you finished 2000? 20k.
Is it?
So that's 2K, yeah. Okay, so summary is the past 6 seasons, right? You have 3 top 2.5k finishes, including this season. Yeah, so that's crazy. 338 in 17-18 and 2,464 in 2021, and the other 3 seasons were very respectable. So 21k, 70k, and 146k.
It's mad, really. I mean, to be honest, it's a fantastic history.
And 15, just to re-emphasize, you finished 15 in the world. Okay, so did you win Singapore when you finished 338?
I don't remember. I only know I didn't win anything because I didn't sign up for anything back then.
Oh, but you didn't go join Western,
I think I didn't. Yeah, I was just just playing by myself. Like because also like my close friends didn't really play FPL.
Because that's the first season you did very well. Because before that you were in like 1 million, like 500k, 300k.
I don't know how you keep the motivation playing without any friends. To be honest, playing by myself, right, it isn't like I wouldn't be able to do it. There's no one to gloat. There's no one to there's no one to gloat with. I mean, like when you have a good game weeks, there's no one to talk to. It's difficult to play yourself. For you to be able to finish respectably yourself, right? I think that's kind of crazy.
I mean, I had friends that played it, but you know, it's like the kind when you reach 20 game week, then they're like, I give up really.
I just don't
count them.
Okay, wait, Phil, I want to ask you, you finished 15 in the world and you finished 3rd in Singapore and 2nd in Western. How do you feel? Do you feel like a bit unlucky to finish 3rd?
I think could feel a bit disappointed in some way if you have the greedy mindset, you know. Like, it could have been so much more, but then if you ask me, like, I think it's already more than I could ever have hoped for at the start of the season.
What do you win for 2nd investment? What do you get?
I don't know. They haven't announced anything on their Instagram.
It will take a while.
I think so the prizes are announced. I think you just have to like look back at the post history. But I think they only released it from last season only when the new season starts.
Yeah.
And only when the new season prizes are announced, then they will give it to the
He should know like you won the ball, right? You went down to take the ball before.
Yeah,
right?
I went down to Queensway.
That's what I heard.
For context, right? Late riser, he finished top 100 twice, and he won India. He won India twice or so by finishing, I think, 70-something and 50-something. So that's crazy for you to finish 15 in Singapore, a much smaller country, and to still not win Singapore. I mean, that I think it's very unlucky. Any other season, I think you'll comfortably win Western. Right. Okay. 15 in the world. Okay.
I want to ask you one thing. Is there...
go ahead.
I mean, knowing your history, I mean, it's a really good history, and knowing that you've just been playing yourself all this while, right? One thing I want to ask you is there any like strategies or tips that you live by, like anything like, you know, like any like kind of rules like that you kind of live by when you play FPL, like maybe like you try not to as far as possible not to take hits or kind of like anything like any like philosophy or whatnot, just generally
I think you're right. So actually all the past, like especially when I was younger, you know, it's like I don't really care so much about strategy, I just want to have fun, so I took a lot of hits, then that's why my ranks were kind of bad. And what I learned from all of that is that I don't, recently, at least these few seasons, I don't take hits. Like I think if you look at the I've only taken one hit this season, and it was because some train workers at Brighton were holding a strike, so I only had 10 players. So I had to take a hit that time, but other than that, I try not to take any hits at all because it's just not worth the negative four.
I mean, that's crazy. How do you only take one hit all season, man? For context, right, the world number one took 36 points worth of hits. You only took 4 points. Do you plan?
Yeah, that in I advance? Mean, that's like, you take I one think hit? long-term planning, I suppose, yeah.
I guess maybe probably we can share more about that when we go into the individual game weeks.
Let's talk about the club you support. So which club do you support?
Yes, so I think people who follow the Telegram chat would know, but maybe I'll just give a bit of context about how I supported it. So actually how I followed football was like many people, my dad was the reason that I got into football. So he took me to all the local stadiums when I was younger to catch the matches live, and actually technically, he's also the reason why I follow Bayern. So why I follow Bayern is because back then, we were subscribed to the football channel on StarHub. So last time StarHub, there was only one channel for football. And he subscribed to it actually is because he wanted to watch like the AFC Cup. So it's not even to watch EPL or what. So last time, I think Singtel also had the rights. So the only thing that was on the football channel was like the Bundesliga and Serie A. So I think I just started to watch the Bundesliga highlight show. And from there, I just got into Bayern from there.
Wow, that's
so you're a diehard Bayern fan.
Guess I haven't been to the Allianz Arena yet, but hopefully we'll be able to go sometime soon.
Is there a fantasy for Bundesliga?
Yes, correct. Actually, that's probably one of the reasons why I think I did better was because I totally gave up on the fantasy Bundesliga this season.
Okay, so do you watch? Okay, let's talk about how often do you watch EPL games? So if a Bayern game is on and your captain is playing at the same time, which game will you watch?
It doesn't matter because I watch no EPL games every week. Zero.
Zero EPL games.
Okay, let's talk about how. Yeah.
Not even highlights at all.
Sometimes I watch the highlights for fun, give myself a bit of entertainment and excitement in the morning. But other than that, I watch zero EPL games. And that's actually crazy.
I was just about to ask him, iStats or stats, right? So I'm assuming you see some sort of stats to base your decisions on your team?
I think it's 33% feeling, 33% fixtures, and 33% stats or eye test. Like, eye test is just like, you know, you just briefly see the highlights, that kind of thing. But I think that probably is an advantage to not be emotionally attached to any team, which actually helped me to make much more objective decision. Like, to put it in a nice way, I'm not affected, unlike EPL fans like you that are very passionate about your team. And to put it in a nastier way, I'm not as delusional as you all also when it comes to your team.
I think that rule applies more to me, because like I will never captain against Arsenal. I always try to have like lots of Arsenal players in my team. So yeah, I think you're right with regards to that.
So I got one question. So even if like Monchon get back, if playing like Werder Bremen, you'll watch that game instead of an EPL game?
I think it depends, but generally I would say the Bundesliga games are more fun than EPL games. There's much more goals compared to EPL
games.
Interesting. That's crazy. Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Because like I think I mentioned this in the previous part also. Like I think one of the past winners, he also doesn't watch football at all. Simon March, if you know him, he's quite a big FPL personality. Yeah.
Just because of the time zone he's at, right? But he actually doesn't watch because he's watching another league altogether. Right?
Yeah.
How's cool. I want to know about fantasy for Bundesliga. Is it a big thing?
Yes. So, actually, the previous seasons, I would say I focused more on fantasy Bundesliga because I actually had more of a chance of winning something. So, the player base for fantasy Bundesliga is much smaller. I think it's around 500k or less. But the prices are equally appealing. So I think the top three all get like a trip to Germany to watch a Bundesliga game, that kind of thing. And that's why like I think I've always tried to focus more on fantasy Bundesliga because I have more insights about the teams there. And also I stand more of a chance. And like, I mean, honestly, I've been doing much better for fantasy Bundesliga compared to FPL. It's like, I'm not sure if it's because much fewer people are playing, but it's to the point where I've had quite a few top 100 kind of finishes, that kind of thing. But I didn't bring anything, of course, because top 100 doesn't get you anything.
There's nothing on Western, right?
No.
Oh,
of course not.
Like, do you have friends who watches Bundesliga? Like,
Yes.
You do? Do you know anyone in VK that personally that watches Bundesliga?
No, to be honest, no. I know I have this friend who watches football casually and supports Dortmund. As in locally there, Singapore. Yeah. But
I always have those like support Dortmund and support Chelsea also, like, you know,
I mean they always have like multiple clubs kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
My very close friend is a Dortmund supporter, so I have great fun this season.
Oh, that was brutal.
Especially on the last day. Especially on the last day of the season. Crazy scenes at the end. Yeah, one thing I want to ask is so you mentioned that you grew up watching local football. So are you in touch with local football as well?
Like I watch with my dad sometimes, so he's a Lion City Sailors fan.
So when you first started, like what games do you go to? Like which games? Which club?
Home
United. I think my dad is just generally like a local football supporter, you know.
That's great, man. That's great to hear, man.
Okay, let's go back to FPL. So I want to ask you about making early transfers and building team value. Do you do that? Do you make early transfers or do you wait until like Friday after the press conference to make your transfers?
I think generally at the start of the season, I make earlier transfers more because I think that there's just a general saying in FPL that team value matters more at the start of the season. I'm not sure if it's generally because I feel like this season, especially when you got to the end of the season, team value mattered very little because all of the high-priced players were all underperforming. But I think, generally, I would say that maybe the saying is true that team value does matter less and less as the season goes on.
Okay. How about captaincy? Do you have any strategy?
Just Captain Haaland every week. other than that, okay.
Okay, so just a breakdown is captaincy, right? So those players that he didn't captain, like, besides Haaland and Salah, right? So you captain Rashford twice. One is a triple captain, it's a double game week, and the other one is in a single game week. And then the rest of your captains are mostly double game weeks, except for Martinelli in game week 26 and in game week 38. We will talk about it later, but yeah, I think mostly your captains, I think, are pretty safe. What do you think, EBK?
Yeah, I mean, with the last exception of the last week.
Yeah, I mean, even the two game weeks he captained Kane, right, is because Man City blank. So
for those people who don't know, he captained Eze on the last week. Eze, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Just one more thing before we get right into your team. It's about your FPL content that you consume. Are you consuming lots of FPL content? Are you on Twitter a lot? How do you research on FPL stuff?
So I do consume some Twitter and some Reddit, but I mean usually I would say I love to hug the Buddha's leg, so I only read it right before the deadline, that kind of thing, like literally right before the deadline.
Who? Right. What you say? Whose tweet?
What do you, what, can you repeat what you said? You always hug the Buddha's leg.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, like there's a Chinese thing for it, which is like, it's called like Pao Huo Jiao. So what it means is that whenever you do like last minute work, that kind of thing, then you just praying for the best, that kind of thing.
Okay. But there's a method to your madness. I mean, you have a good history, man. So I think there's something to it, man. We will dive deep in later. I mean, when we talk about your team. Okay, shall we just move on to the teams?
Yep. Let's go.
Let's go through his game week one draft. Okay, so he went with, let's start with the goalkeepers. He went 4.5 and 4 million, Sanchez and Danny Ward. So I think if you go to a 4.5 million goalkeeper, I think he was pretty template, I think. Then in defense, he went Trent and Cancelo, those two were template. I think Reece James was a template as well, but he didn't go for Reece James. You went with Trippier. I think it was between Cash and Trippier, if you all remember, between the 5 million defenders. That's something crazy, right, if you think about it.
He went in with Trippier early, actually. Yeah,
Trippier. Great. And then he went with two 4 million defenders, two forwards in Patterson and Nico Williams. Okay, so his midfielders were Salah, Martinelli. I think those two are pretty popular. I think Bailey also was semi-popular, then Luis Diaz. Then he went for another 8 million midfielder in Mahrez. So I think Mahrez is very punty, especially in game week 1. Actually, it didn't work for you. I mean, you saw him in game week 3 for Zaha. Then he went, no Andrea. I think Andreas was the popular pick, if you guys remember. So, and Jesus and Haaland was your strikers, and you went with a dead striker, so 4 million striker. So how do you, what goes through your mind when you build a game week 1 draft? Yes.
Game week 1 draft for me is the most important thing is you must get certain players that are locked. So for me it was Haaland, Salah, then I mean those two, and especially the three premium defenders like Cancelo, Trent and Trippier, they really took up a lot of the budget. So it's more of the remaining players is more of like trying to just fit whatever pieces that are left into it.
Yep.
Okay, let's quickly move on. So by game week 7, right, you already ranked 3.7, so yeah, definitely a good start. That really helps if you want to get a good rank. So 3.7k in game week 7. And then after game week 9, you were ranked 4.4k. So I want to ask you about this. So in game week 9, right, okay, you took a hit in game week 8 because of, you mentioned earlier, right, just now about
the Brighton strike at Brighton's metro.
That was post the Queen's death, right? Just 1 week after,
the tube, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, in game week 9, right, you made a goalkeeper transfer 1 week before your World Cup. I mean, you didn't even take a hit. You only took one hit all season. Why did you make that goalkeeper transfer? Do you remember? You sold Sanchez for Pope.
Yeah. So it's really just because of the strike. So because of the strike, I didn't have a playing keeper, so I had to get Sanchez out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's so straightforward then. I think you had what? Okay, what was playing? I think what was playing also, right?
Okay. Then in that case, I probably made an early transfer and I got punished for it then.
Okay. It's just crazy, right? He took one hit only and he made a goalkeeper transfer. Nobody does that 1 week before a workout. Yeah,
and it's quite a decent goalkeeper transfer because after that, I think Pope was on a good
run. Yeah, but he workouted the game week after that. So that's why I'm thinking, do you know you're going to workout in game week 10? When you made the goalkeeper transfer, do you remember?
I think I don't really remember. I think probably because if not, then I wouldn't make a goalkeeper transfer, to be honest.
Okay, so at you were walked out in game week 10, so you were sitting at 4.4k when you walked out. So in game week 9, right, you went from 9.2 to 4.4k. So what was the thinking while carding after a good game week?
I was comfortable with it because the reason why I had a good game week was because Trossard went to score a hat trick against Liverpool out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think okay. So from game week 1 to game week 10, right, you basically got a good start. It's basically thanks to Trossard, Zaha, and Tony. Those three you brought in free transfers, right? And they were three relatively low owner, and they got hauls for you. These were the three main like crazy players that that's why you were at 4.4k. So let's talk about your wild card in game week 10. So 3 game weeks post wildcard, right, game week 10, your OR went down from 4k to 16k. So that is not usually what you will hope for, especially after wildcard. That is that's quite a bad. So basically I think your wildcard one failed. So you had 16k. So I think mainly it's because Cancelo. I think you didn't get Cancelo in game week 10 and he got 18 points immediately. But something that I realized, right, you held your nerve, you didn't buy him. Especially James, right, was injured in game week 11. But instead of trying to buy Cancelo back, you actually went for Shah and double up on Newcastle defense. That was a bit crazy. If I were you, one of my lesson learned was Cancelo. I was so FOMO about him, right? But for you, Cancelo 18 points, but you just didn't even bother. Like James injured, you just bought Shah. So why weren't you not scared of Cancelo? Do you remember?
I think it was because honestly, he's a very streaky kind of player, so I feel in FPL. So to me, it's like if I get him in now, then I'm trying to chase the gains a bit. So I think for me, I'll just pray that Pep Guardiola go and bench him and then hope for the best.
And that's what he did, basically. Towards the end of between, I think from then until the end, until World Cup, he was like benched almost every week.
No, so I think he kind of played
well done.
I think post World Cup then he was benched. Yeah, but yeah, I think he's crazy That's well done, man. That's one of the reasons why, because after 18 points, right, and Reece James injured, right. If I were you, I would definitely bring him in like on a hit or something, because I'll be like, come on. I think he was decently owned. So yeah, anyway, moving on. So after the three red arrows post World Cup, right, you went from 16k to 5k. So
Before we move on, sorry. Just back onto the Trossard, Zaha, and Tony, right? What were your thoughts getting these lowly owned players in? So you mentioned, like, how do you bring these players in? Is it like stats that you're looking at, or I think these are the three players kind of.
I think there was a commonality. They all played Leeds. And from my, I'll be honest, a lot of my PL knowledge, it comes from the Bundesliga. So from the Bundesliga, I can tell you, Jesse Marsch is an absolutely trash manager. So I'm willing to bet everything against his teams.
After they beat Chelsea 3-0?
Yes, I remember he's really bad, honestly. He led Leipzig all the way to 13th or 14th before he got sacked.
Oh no! Yeah, that popped out actually. I saw. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
is there any managers that from Bundesliga coming to the PL recently?
Hasan Udo was from the Bundesliga.
Okay. Lopetegui, all La Liga, right?
Yeah, all La Liga.
Emery, all La Liga. Okay, yeah, there's no one. Is there any manager? We can ask you, man, in the future. Okay, but anyway,
he can be our German league correspondent. Anything we don't know, we'll ask you on the Telegram channel.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, because anyway, after the three red arrows, right, you basically went up. You didn't panic. Okay? That's the thing that I took away. After the three red arrows, right, after your wildcard, right, if I were you, I would panic. But you even wrote your transfer after the third red arrow, and then you actually got a green arrow. So just your persona is like, you're very calm, you're very patient. Man, how do you do it, man? How do you remain patient?
One way you can look at it is that I'm very calm and very patient. Maybe that's 50% of the case. And then the other 50% is maybe I see three red arrows, then I lose interest. I'm like, I'm not going to care so much this week. And then I just keep my cool.
But you were like decently ranked, man. If I were you knew you were decently ranked, right? At like 4-4, top 10k. So you had to care, right? You had to care about your
I think team, kind sure. of, but maybe when we get to a game week later, I'll tell you how this kind of thing somehow works out.
Okay, so going to the World Cup, you were ranked at 5.6k, man. So at that point, right, what was your target, man? Do you think that winning the whole thing was a possibility?
Not at all. It's quite far off still, to be honest. Wow.
Okay. So let's talk post-World Cup. So World Cup, after World Cup was a bit... Okay, so there was game week. The first double game week was 19 and 20, right? Those two games didn't go well for you, the first doubles. I think you went from like 2.2k to 6.6k and then to 14.5k. So basically 2.2 to 14.5. I mean, post World Cup, the first two games you did well, but after that, when the doubles came, you didn't do well until the big game week 22. So you triple captain Rashford. That's the game week I triple captain him to. So that's 60 points. In that game week, you had 109 points. So other than that, you also brought in Bruno and Mitoma in that game week, and both of them also double digit return. So yeah, so what made you triple captain Rashford? There was an opportunity to use it on Haaland too, I think, around that time. So was it a clear decision to triple captain Rashford?
Yeah, I think it was a clear decision for me because firstly, the fixtures were very good. And secondly, when it comes to Haaland, even if he has a double game week, I'm not confident that Pep will actually let him play anywhere close to the two games.
Yeah, okay. One thing I want to ask, because Haaland is from the German league, right? So what were your thoughts pre-season? Do you think that he was going to smash it in the EPL, or were you like doubtful?
I was tired of all of the Farmers League comments. I was like, he has to smash it. If not, the Bundesliga fans cannot take this lying down anymore.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you thought he was underpriced? I guess when
definitely. I think he was going to smash it, absolutely smash it, because Dortmund, I mean, he has his flaws. Like, he struggled a bit to unlock teams that sat deep, but then he was still scoring very well again for a Dortmund that wasn't exactly in the best of shape. So that was what made me feel like he was someone special.
Mm. Interesting, interesting. So okay, so he scored 36 league goals this season. Do you think he will score the same next season?
Probably a bit less, because I think there will be a bit more rotation, I feel, because Man City are going to walk it again, and when they walk it, then they might as well just let him sit out more.
That's true. He would have scored more if Arsenal was like giving more fight towards the end, I think. Yeah. Actually, he's coming into the Champions League final with 6 games without a goal, so he is off form right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay, so like that's game week 22, triple captain. Now you're at 4.5k. So I think the next game week 23, right, you captain Rashford at home to Leicester. That's 30 points. I think the popular pick was Haaland away to Nottingham Forest, who blank. I think that's the last time Man City dropped points, remember? Before they went on a crazy run, right? So yeah, so that was a big swing. Do you remember why?
Yes.
Why you went with Rashford?
Why I went with Rashford was because I read that Nottingham Forest were decent at home. So that was the only reason. And also because I think Haaland wasn't going to get the full game, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right as well. I mean,
that's good. That's good. But it's still Haaland against Forest. Yeah. I mean, Rashford was home to Leicester. I think that's a fair point. I think... Yeah, but the swing is crazy. But okay, now
in retrospect, it was easy, but you have to make these decisions like Wes did, before you play, instead of after. Yeah, so good on
because
you.
Because going to the game, I was very confident that City will smash Forest, and also the EO factor. So if you didn't ask him about the EO, right? Okay, do you like EO, effective ownership?
I think not really, because I feel like if you want to do very well, then you can't keep following the EO. I feel like the only time you should really look at EO is when you want to protect your rank. Maybe you have a friend that is catching you up in the league, then you need to shut him up, that kind of thing, or you are leading already.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so double game week 25. Liverpool and Arsenal. I think you had a small red arrow from 4.2 to 5.2. I think you had Robbo, who only played one game, and you have Nketiah also, who didn't start both games. Okay, then now this is the big one. Okay, game week 26. So for context, right, majority Walker, including myself. Okay, so the reason why I think I Walker is because the FA Cup results were already known. I remember there were a lot of upsets, so we already had a clear picture of blank 28, double 29. So the reason, and that's the reason why I Walker, we had the picture. But what you did, right? So for context, you Walker in 27, but in 26, right, you sold Nketiah to Tony, and you scored like 86 points, which propelled you from 5.2k to 669. So this is your first time with a three-digit rank, thanks to hauls from Darwin and Salah and Mitoma. But you captain Martinelli, who blanked. So yeah, so talk me through. So were you close in wildcarding in 26, or what was the thinking behind that?
Okay, so the thinking was, I went on the Twitter, they told me that the template move was to wildcard because the people's, yeah, so it was the same rationale. It was the FA Cup fixtures were out, and most people, they wanted to bank another transfer in by just taking the wildcard early. And I thought about it too, but let me tell you that I think the deadline was about 2 hours away, and I was feeling sleepy, and I was like, I am not going to do the research to wildcard. I am just gonna leave it to next week. If I am going to lose out, then so be it. It was really just that. Like I was like, I'm not gonna take the time for that. I have like a lot of schoolwork and all. It was just fortunate, to be honest.
It was an early kickoff, is it? Was a Saturday early morning deadline, is it?
Yes, I think so. Then it wasn't to do with like fixtures or what. It was really just to do with pure old luck, and that's why I said luck makes a factor.
Yeah.
Okay, but at that point,
scheduling.
ABK go first.
Yeah, no, you go first. I think mine was a bit like off.
Okay, so at that point, right, do you know that you were going on a wild card in 27?
Yes, definitely. My team had to prepare for the wild card.
ABK.
So my question is a bit slightly off topic a bit is like, when the game week is going on, right, do you track the what's going on, or do you like do it like after the week? Do you just like look at?
I don't think he track. He doesn't even watch the games, right? I don't think you track, right?
So you don't follow live like what's happening, like
live FPL.
you know, if I have time, I'll watch the highlights on Sunday morning. Then, if not, then maybe at most I'll just use SofaScore, just briefly look through the scores. See
so
if my
when the game is going on, you're not like engaged to see how like Haaland is doing, how Rashford is doing. You don't check. You just do it after. But the,
yeah,
the day
not,
after.
Not really, not really.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should do that. I should do that.
No, man. But that's, I don't know. That's the fun of it, though. For me, personally. Like, because so you. Yeah,
I mean, if it makes you a better player, you know, it kind of like it get you a bit like what he mentioned, like, I mean, get you detached a bit from the game. I think maybe that's the kind of trick. I mean, Shaka is also like that, right? I mean, we interviewed the guy who's like second in our Coffee Talks League. He's also a bit like that. He's also he's a bit detached from the FPL game itself. Right, so maybe that's the kind of trick that you have to do a bit, like you cannot detach yourself fully. You cannot be a casual, but maybe you have to detach yourself from the football, I think. Right, I think that will work. I don't know. Yeah.
So like on Saturday night, Bayern is not playing. What are you watching on that Saturday night? Are you watching Bundesliga or are you watching a Premier League game?
I think.
Or you don't watch at all. Watch Netflix.
Yeah, probably. I don't watch it at all, to be honest. Like, I feel like I'm not interested enough to really watch it live unless maybe I have a Premier League fan friend that I want to banter around. Like, for example, 7-0 United. Who doesn't want to banter some people around? Yeah,
that's true.
Okay. Alright, man. Let's get back to the analysis. Sorry.
Okay,
for
after such a monster Game Week 26, did that make you think twice? For wildcarding in 27, or was it like stick to the plan?
No, I know that Liverpool weren't gonna pull that off again, so it's like time to get it off.
That's good, man. That's true. I felt that way too. As a Liverpool fan, right, I really felt like, well, this was a one-off too. But yeah, I think crazy. That's very true. So okay, let's go on to your wildcard. So your plan was, you knew from the start, right? The plan was to bench boost wildcard 27, bench boost 29. And free hit 32. You knew that, right? When you walked.
Yes, out. And to plan for the 28 blank game week blank. As well.
Yeah. For context, for listeners who forget, right? After game week 26, Liverpool had a decent run of games. I think they were playing.
Yeah,
Bournemouth.
Actually, not.
They were playing Bournemouth, actually, right? Was it Bournemouth? Yeah.
Yeah, Bournemouth. But they played Man City. They were playing Man City in 29. So
yeah. So the thing is, like, the short term move, right? That for that game week, right? In game week 27. He had no Liverpool players in the team.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he took out all the after the 7-0, right? This is after the 7-0, right?
Correct. After 7-0, home away to Bournemouth, Liverpool lost 1-0. You'd never wildcard at like Salah or Trent or no one Liverpool. So that is crazy also.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a shrewd move. Like,
okay, so you wildcard in a strong position, 6-6-9. So I think you went with triple Brighton, who doubled in 27. And you had Zaha also who doubled. But then you did something interesting. You sold McAllister in 28, but brought him back in 29. So you did the hokey cokey. Was that always the plan?
Yes, that was the plan, because I wanted him in for 27, but then at the same time, I also wanted him back in 29. But I believe I only had 10 players that were playing, yes, so correct. I needed to do something.
So bear in mind, he did a hokey cokey and he didn't take any hits. Yeah, just a reminder, he only took one hit all season and he still managed to do this hokey cokey. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, anyway, one of the stars of your wildcard is Tyrone Mings. So just for context, right? Game week 28, he got 12 points. Game week 29, he got 10 points. Game week 30, 6 points. 31, 6 points. Game week 33, 15 points. So basically, you benched him and he blanked and played him and he hot. So basically, he was your star. I mean, he was also the star for the winner of the FPL. I was looking at his team also. So, why Mings?
Just so you know, right? Lukman, right? Hates Mings. He thinks that Mings shouldn't be anywhere in the England national team. Right? Lukman thinks that Mings is like the worst defender that is.
Not worse. I mean, that's harsh. But there are more worse defenders. But like, I don't rate him. But yeah, continue.
It was more so because of, I mean, maybe he's a trash defender, but the fixtures look good, to be honest, because I got to have, I think, the double in 29, and he also played in the blank game week. So yeah. I knew I needed to get some Aston Villa players in, and also I got in Watkins as well, which I think was also one of the main reasons why I did well from there.
Yeah, so okay. So coming to your bench boost, double game week 29, you were sitting at 365 in the world. So that was your bench boost had 147 points. I think you had 23 points on the bench. So that was your highest game week rank of the season. I think 18.9k. So you went from 365 to 95 in the world. So this is your first time in the top 100, and you will stay there for the rest of the season. So obviously, great bench boost, right, at 95. So what was the thinking, man? You want to talk through your bench boost?
I think it was pretty standard in the sense that it was triple Brentford and triple Brighton. So I think that was a template move. Then the rest was mostly just, I think it was just a feeling of who was going to do well, to be honest.
And so your bench was, yeah, so your bench was Kane, Martinelli, who had their single game week, and then Raya and Henry. Yeah. The rest are all doublers.
Yeah, correct. So I guess it was mostly just to do a lot of planning in for the time ahead, for the game weeks ahead, especially since I think I only had the free hit left after that. So I was just trying to do a bit of future planning as well with all of the wildcard transfers.
Okay. So ABK, anything?
No, nothing for me. Yeah.
Okay, so after the bench boost, right, game week 30, you were sitting at 95th in the world. So what was the target now? What was your feelings? Do you think you can push it to win the whole thing?
Didn't really have a target, if I'm being honest. I was just playing like a filthy casual.
You didn't look at how many points you were from number one when you were 95.
Well, because I think firstly I was busy with school, so that was a factor. But the other factor was that I think I could only get excited when it really gets to the end of the season, because I believe the back when I finished 338, there was also once where I was ranked like 20 or 40, then I just dropped to 338 slowly from there. So I didn't really feel like too excited about it, because I knew that there's still some way to
that's a good point, because it's so close up there, right? You can go to, yeah, that's a good point, to be fair. But if I were you, I'll be like super excited. But anyway, from game week 30 to 38, right, you only had two red arrows. One is your free hit in 32, and the other one is the last game week. So let's talk about this free hit team. I mean, okay, so the takeaway is you did not nail your first wildcard, and you did not nail your free hit. So, I mean, what could have been? So your free hit 32 team, right, you scored 58 points, and the average for the top 10k was 64. So that's not good. I mean, you went from 29 in the world to 67. I mean, not disastrous, but when you play a chip, you expect a green arrow even that high up. So you did not own like assets, like popular assets that hold like Isak, Jota and Saka. So okay, I want to ask you something. You played Martinelli 30 times this season, and you didn't own Saka at all this season, even on your free hit. Was there a reason why Martinelli over Saka?
There wasn't a time where I felt I wanted two Arsenal midfielders, and usually Martinelli, I mean, he was the cheaper option, so I just stuck with him, because I know that a lot of people say that Saka, he was guaranteed more minutes, but then...
And penalties too, he has penalties too.
Yeah, correct. So
that wasn't a factor to your thinking also.
I didn't have the money, man.
So it's just the money mostly.
Yeah, so I didn't think that he was worth the extra money. And I mean, I'm a bit lucky also, because if I recall, there was a game where Saka missed penalty also. And yes, I was like, correct. Yes, that was very lucky.
So for context, Martinelli is your most gain player over the top 10k. And Saka is the one that hurt you the most. So you didn't even own Saka all season. I don't think you own Odegaard too, right, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I don't think so. So Martinelli... So, okay, so let's move on. So, game week 33, you went from 67 to 39 in the world, mainly thanks to Tyrone Mings' 15 points. 15 points. Okay, let's talk about the big one. So, after that, you hover around the 30th mark in the world. So, the big one was double game week 36. So, Newcastle. So, everyone went with Issa. So, basically, the thinking behind Issa over Wilson is basically minutes, which was actually true, because Wilson... actually came off in the first game, but actually Wilson played the second game too. But if you talk about everyone went for Isak because of the minutes, so what made you do? And the thing is, you actually transferred in Wilson in that game week over Isak and Captain Wilson. So talk us through, man. What was your thought process?
My thought process is that, you know, if Wilson plays, Isak is on the wing. He's not going to get any points at all. So why go for someone who is probably going to play on the wing for most of the time, where you can get the main man who's in the rich vein of form? And I don't think Eddie Howe is going to be benching him much in that form when he's going to want to go for the Champions League spot. So I say, let's just not go with someone that will probably play on the wing. Let's just go with the main man.
Yeah, okay. No, but then the thing is, right, what happened was, I think before that,
Arsenal, right?
Yeah, in the Arsenal game, I think that was the first time Isak and Wilson played together. right? And then yes, Isak was playing on the wings, and then Wilson played in the middle up front. And then they lost to Arsenal. Wilson played in the middle. Yeah, and they lost the game. So in my head, right, I mean, that was the first game. And then the next game was the decision whether you had to go with Isak or Wilson. So in my head at that time, right, I was thinking like, okay, this is the first time they played together and it didn't bode so well because they lost to Arsenal. So I thought in my head, like, maybe he won't try playing Isak and Wilson together again, right? But I mean, you went for Wilson instead. So you knew that Wilson, they're going to start Isak and Wilson again. You think...
I mean, it makes sense. Isak is out wide. I mean, when I was watching the game, it makes sense. Why am I choosing the white player? But for context, right, 9 out of the top 10 in the world, right, all went with Isak captain, except for the guy who eventually won. He went with Wilson. But from 2nd to 10, right, all of them went Isak. So, anything else you want to add, Wes, on?
Yeah, I guess Wilson? It's a bit of nostalgia also. So, I mean, from the past seasons, even when Steve Bruce was the manager, I also stuck with Wilson because I think, honestly, he's a good player, just that he has a lot of injury concerns.
Yeah, he's a good player.
So, I did think that, you know, it's probably good to give him a go over Isak.
Yeah, okay, so thanks to that Wilson's haul, right, you went from 36th to 13th, 1-3 in the world. So you are within touching distance coming to the last two game weeks. Okay, so double game week 37, you sold Salah to Bruno. That was a decent haul. So I think Salah blank and Bruno haul. Then you went from 13 to 8. So you were 35 points adrift from number one going into the last game week. Okay, so let me talk through what you did for the last game week. So your transfer, you had one free transfer. You went Grealish to Eze to captain him. So the context, right? You already have Kane and Haaland. So you could have actually sold Haaland because I'm assuming you know the league, right? That Haaland wasn't starting.
Yeah, so actually I was saying it's about luck, right? So that's the problem. So because everyone knew Haaland wasn't starting, so my differential Kane became absolutely nothing. So I couldn't...
It was harsh.
I was just thinking I didn't even want to captain him anymore because even if I captain him, there's no way I'm going to make up the distance, and that's why I went for the SA captain. And yeah, let's just say it didn't
wait, first, Grealish wasn't starting though. You knew that, right?
Yes.
Okay, then you
Haaland was in your team. Like you didn't transfer Haaland.
You put Haaland second in your bench. You purposely put him there, right? Second in the bench.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, why do you do that? I mean,
because
you knew that he wasn't starting.
Yeah, so he wasn't starting, and he's probably not gonna score any points when he comes on because City was gonna play with an absolute trash team in the last week of the season.
Yeah, he put Rico Henry first bench.
Over Haaland. You bought Eze earlier, is it, or did you do it before the deadline?
I think I did it a bit earlier because there's always been issues with the site crashing, I believe, this season. So I decided I'm not going to risk that. And of course, I think I did dream about winning. Like, I was just thinking in my head. I saw on the Crystal Palace Twitter, you know, Eze just got his first England call up, if I'm not wrong. So I was like,
No,
that's the perfect story for him to score a brace against Nottingham Forest. I think that was busy partying after celebrating not being relegated. Yeah, so I was just thinking, you know, just like all of the Arsenal fans this season, maybe it's our turn to be champion. And then, but, you know, we often don't get what we dream of.
That's something. You needed to do something differential to win the whole thing. You wanted to win, right? I'm sure 35 points. You still thought that you could actually like win it, right? I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean there was a chance. I was thinking if Eze went off, but yeah, it wasn't meant to be.
Actually on the pot.
To captain Kane instead of Eze, right?
I've been top 10 in the world, but that's about it. I don't think there was any difference.
He ended up 37 points adrift from number one.
So you still wouldn't have went there, like, Okay.
I think I mentioned on the pod, right? I think what if I do if I were you, I would have bring in Sun. Remember to captain Sun. Was Sun out of your reach or you didn't even consider?
So I didn't have the money to bring Sun in. So that was a problem. Unless I was gonna take a negative four, but then at the same time there wasn't really any strikers that interested me much other than Mbeumo. But it's a bit of a nutty move to bring in someone against Man City.
How about the Arsenal players, man? Like, why Eze? Why not like Saka or Martinelli or Odegaard or even Jesus for Haaland? Who was Arsenal in your mind?
No, it wasn't on my mind. I was just thinking, Arsenal, I cannot predict them anymore at this point, especially when they were dropping so much points at the end.
They did rubber also, like, at the end of the at the end of the season. I mean, they were playing for nothing. Wolves was also playing for nothing,
So you ended up Red Arrow towards there. I think Eze just blank, right? He didn't do anything. So it's quite a disappointing end for you. So any regrets for the season?
I mean, yeah, for the season, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the regret is Pep Guardiola should have just played Haaland, and then I could have had my differential captain world. But that's too much to ask for. So I'll just say that I'm just just grateful for how the season went in terms of some good and lucky decisions here and there, and look forward to the next season as well, even though I don't think I'll be doing anywhere as good as I did this season.
It's tough, like, it's tough, but I mean, who knows, man? I mean, you already have the recipe to success. I mean, it seems with three top 2.5k finish.
Yeah, wait, so, one thing. So you didn't consider selling Haaland at all? You just...
I didn't want to take the hit. It's more so that I didn't have any strikers that I was fully convinced by.
Yeah, there's no one. I think I wouldn't buy Jesus also for a hit. I think that was too risky. So there's no one, right? I can't think. And Wemo definitely not. Not for a hit. But Jesus, yeah, I think you have a good point. I'll probably do what you did, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So unlikely. So a few lessons that I kind of gathered from talking to you, right? So the first thing is you don't take hits at all. So maybe I will try to learn from that. And next season I will try to see whether I can reduce the number of hits I take. Second thing, you also mentioned about your EO, lah. I think you don't really look at EO. You're mentioning how, like, if you are following the EO, that means you are just following the pack, like, kind of thing. Yeah, okay. So just get good players and don't try not to look at EO so much. Maybe I can try doing that a bit more. Yeah, but it's kind of tough for us, like. I think for me and Lukman, we're always like on live FPL. We're always watching the game. It's a bit. We're always like quite in touch with like all the FPL content creators and all that. Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of tough for us to kind of like detach ourselves in that way. Yeah. So maybe that's one of the things that we have to try to do. So, like, I mean, to kind of detach ourselves a bit. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Roman?
Nothing. Okay. Anything from you, Wes?
One thing I want to ask you is how you came in to our Copy Talks League pretty late, so I think much to the dismay of the number two guy. But we did have the rule that there was no deadline to joining. So how do you find out about us? How do you find out about Copy Talks League? Was it your friends who was already inside this league that told you about it, or do you find us on Reddit or something?
Yeah, so I realized I was in a good position to maybe win a few leagues here and there. So I just searched Reddit Price League, and then I saw you all were commenting on one of the older threads this season. So I just decided, I checked that there wasn't any like terms and conditions. So I just joined then. A bit sorry to the second place.
No. It's all good, man. It's part of our rules, lah. But I think a lot of people were thinking like it was a bit late for people to join. So maybe next season we put in something like Game Week 35, like the deadline. Yeah. So that, I mean, like the first guy can gauge and can fight who the his competitors at the top there. Yeah, but all good, man. All good, man. We're glad that, I mean, you found us. I mean, you are in the chat, and so that we can talk to you. So, I mean, in the future, I think we'd love to have you as a guest, lah. I mean, if you're free, if you're available in one of our pods in the future. Yeah, so if you're available, do you think you'll come on to pod with us, or would that be alright?
No problem. I would be happy to, and of course, can always happy to share more about Bundesliga players as well, because I mean, the EPL always poaches all of the Bundesliga talents, so. Yeah, I'll be having fun trying to predict, you know, whether Nkunku will be the next Havertz, Werner, or Sancho, or is he the next Haaland?
Yeah, so what's your early thoughts on that?
Yes, so I think he's the next Haaland, but don't quote me on that because Chelsea don't look good.
Oh, you read Nkunku, lah.
You read Nkunku, lah, so you think he's good, lah. Okay.
He's the real deal. He's like Mbappe light.
Yeah, I actually agree there. Really? I think he's I think Liverpool should have bought him to replace Mane. I don't know why Liverpool went all over that. But
is there any other players from the German league coming in?
I mean, I want to ask him, but it's not FPL related, like Liverpool, but we thought it off course. But any, I don't think any. Is the Madueke guy from Bundesliga? The Chelsea?
No, I don't think so. But I know that I just saw, to my dismay, that Liverpool are linked with Benjamin Pavard. So he's a good player.
What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's a good player. Is he
better as a centre back or a right back?
He's better as a third. In the three at the back, right centre back. I don't think that's how Liverpool are.
I don't think his form has been up and like he's not been really that good right recently.
I think he's been amazing generally this season. So even when he was playing at right back, I think it was because of the competition because Bayern brought in Mazraoui. But yes, so
then why is Bayern selling him though?
No, he doesn't want to stay. He wants a new challenge. So look forward to seeing him in FPL next season. But yeah, don't pick him. He's not going to have much attacking returns. He just wants to have his 2018 World Cup volley every single game. But, yeah.
Yeah, Cancelo is leaving, right? Cancelo is not staying, right?
But yeah, I think he's going to go back to City and they're going to sell him to somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, back to risk.
Let's take this off part. I mean, thanks, Wes, for taking the time to join us for this part. I mean, I had fun, right? ABK?
I really enjoyed listening to your perspective. I mean, to hear how you don't watch football at all and for you to be up there in the FPL, that's kind of crazy to me. It's wonderful to hear that from you. So any last words from you?
Yeah, so yeah, thanks for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here. And if I were to sum it up, what is the secret to success in FPL is luck. And that's 80% of the time. So good luck, everyone, for the next season if you are listening to this.
All right. For the rest, thanks for listening. And we'll be back pre-season sometime next time. We'll be taking a break now. And yeah, see you guys soon.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. We're FPL Kopi Talks, signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.